Welcome back to another episode of Navigating Postpartum with me, Jeray Williams. And you guys know I have been filled with guests coming on to pour into you guys as well, because I do my solo episodes, but we better together. So today I have someone joining me, Maya. Maya, introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Maya. I am the owner of MSC Life and Wellness. MSC is a wellness brand, a woman's wellness brand. We focus on self-care, wellness education, and women empowerment. I am a birth and traditional postpartum doula. I am also a womb steam practitioner and a lover of self-care.
Yes, y'all heard that introduction, right? Because y'all know I love talking about wellness, and I found Maya, and she loves talking about wellness. So here we are. I'm so excited to have you, and just thank you again for coming and joining us. So, Maya, how did you become a doula? Let us
I
know.
became a doula. First, I guess I should express this. When I was 5 days old, my mom died due to medical malpractice. So that kind of like got me into thinking about birth and my fears of birth all my life. That was one of the scariest things for me. But I always wanted children. Like, I always wanted to be a mom. I always loved children. Before I even became pregnant, thought about having children. That was like something I always looked like did research on, always watched vlogs on YouTube, different birth stories of all sorts, anything I could find, any information I could find, just because that was something I was so afraid of going into it. Once I did just like did have my son, I was very comfortable, and I didn't think I would be. Like, I went into the hospital, had to have an induction, like, and everything, like, I don't know, there was lots of scary things during my pregnancy. Like, I had gestational diabetes, never been diabetic or anything, so like learning about that and going through that, it was very scary. So like, you know, everything that they said that would happen never happened. Like, my blood pressures was, I mean, my sugars was always in good standings. I never had to really change much. I didn't have to really change my eating habits because as I was checking my sugars, everything was good. I didn't eat anything like naturally that would cause me to have high elevated sugars. And then also towards the end of my pregnancy, I had high blood pressure. I had one high blood pressure read, and I got into a car accident. It wasn't like a bad accident, like someone just hit the car. But of course, that I guess going through that kind of spiked my blood pressure and, you know, raised the red flags to my doctors. Like, they wanted to, you know, keep watch on me and everything like that. So those two things caused me to have a medically induced induction. Although I went in for an induction, I still was very much in control. I went in, and typically there's like about 3 to 4 steps they can take when they give you a medical induction. I allowed them to do two. And then once they said that my body was kind of like, you know, agreeing with the process and things were kind of progressing well, I was able to get them to, you know, slow things down. Okay, let's see what my body does before we start Pitocin. Pitocin was the one thing that I learned through all my investigations in my younger years, that that was something I did not want because it would cause me to have really strong, painful contractions that might not even be doing anything, like as far as opening me up. So I didn't get the Pitocin, but things continued to progress. It was said that I would be in the hospital the whole entire weekend, you know, in the labor process, but I wasn't even there for 24 hours before my son was born. So he was born
Wow.
like 12 hours of the beginning of my induction. I think when I got there, I was 1 centimeter dilated naturally. And I had my grandma, both my grandmoms, my maternal grandma, fraternal grandma was there. And granted, like, I don't think we like ever spoke about what people would do for us when we got into the hospital room, like as far as our comfort and things like that. But my fraternal grandma, she was a massage therapist. So she just like rubbed my back, and I already knew like the birth ball, like, 'cause I watched lots of videos. So I knew
Yes.
to be on the birth ball and things like that. So I'll be on the side of the bed on the birth ball, and She would just massage my, like, was mas like massaging my back and things like that. And it was like, it really, I felt like it really helped to keep me comfortable. And one of the things that during my labor process that was helpful to me was like just like physical touch and like hugs. Like I even had the nurse like give me a hug. I was like sitting over the bed. I was actually did get epidural because the nurse, I don't know, I honestly don't know if she was an, I don't know who she was at this point, but she was the person that was there with me checking me in. She was a nurse, but she wasn't there the entire time. But she was the one scaring me into everything, like telling me I was gonna be here all weekend, like just different things. And once I got to like 5 centimeters, she was just like, you know, you feel like you're okay now, but you don't wanna, you know, you don't wanna wait. You wanna make sure you get the epidural, all of the stuff. So I
You know,
got
that's
it.
crazy because, like,
It's
even as nurses, like, you're not supposed to be like telling us these kind of
yeah.
things in the
And you gonna
moment.
tell me, and I mind you, I have a really high pain tolerance because I had I always had painful periods. So my body has been like always like pushed to the max like that. So granted, I'm not comparing birth to those painful periods, but they sure felt like crack, like you know, like something more
Yeah.
than a period. But so she just kept on saying it, and like I don't know, over time I just began to get scared, and I was just like, all right, I'm gonna do it because if I don't do it now, it's gonna be too late. So I did it. I had the epidural placed. I felt my legs go numb, but I felt them come back. Like it didn't work. So
Yeah.
then now I'm panicking, like, okay, it's not working, it's not working. Can I have them come back? The doctor came back, but I think there was something going on with someone else that was in labor or whatever. And she they came back. They was like, oh, they couldn't figure out what went wrong. Then they placed it again. They told me, like, make sure you press the button, because the first time I never did press the button, but I didn't, I felt like I didn't need to press the button because I literally felt it working, then I felt it not work at
Yeah.
the same time. So I'm like, I don't think this
That
button's going
happened to me as well with my first, and they tried to tell me like, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about." Like I had, you know, a white nurse, and she was like, "You don't know what you're talking about." And I was like, "No, like I'm trying to tell you, I can still feel everything." And my husband was trying to tell her like, "We're like, yeah, no, don't play with us." But then she had like it was all cool. Then anesthesiologist came the next morning and was like, "Whoa, like your thing is not working, machine's not working." I was like, "We tried to tell them that." And it was just like a whole thing of like how people don't think they're like, oh, you're not me. I know my body. And
you don't
I
think
know.
I yeah, and that's the important part too. That's one important part, to know your body. So then it was like, make sure you press the button. It still did the same thing. So after this, I'm just like, whatever. But by now, I'm like so far along, and I don't even realize that because I'm panicking so much about this epidural not working that my baby is almost ready to come anyway. So by the time they came back in, my water had broken, and basically it was almost time to push. So the third time when I was going to have them come back in, by the time they was coming back in, it was like, oh, his head is right here. So it was
Wow.
like too late. So after that, they removed the epidural from my back or whatever, and I was walking. I like right after I pushed him out, I had to go to the bathroom so bad. I walked to the bathroom and I came back, and none of like everything they said was gonna happen, nothing, like none of that ever occurred. But also, I had my blood pressures were elevated my entire delivery process. No one ever mentioned it, even during my delivery. After my delivery, they took us up to the mommy baby room, and my blood pressures were really high. And thankfully, the nurse that was there caught it because they had me in the room and my blood pressures was still high upstairs. So if it wasn't for her, I could have had a stroke or a seizure, like anything, something could have happened to me. I thought that was very important for us to have doulas because we need somebody that's really looking out for us. Because I
That just
mean,
gave me chills, like just even.
yeah, and they like thankfully the nurse called it because she was like, you're supposed to be, you know, you got to go back down on labor and
Yeah.
delivery because I had to be on magnesium for 24 hours just to help whatever. And I mean my blood pressure stayed elevated probably for like the first week or so, but you know, they came out, they monitored me, and I made sure, like, you know, I wasn't under any stress or anything, like especially after birth. But those kind of things, and just like knowing that we need that kind of support in the hospital setting, made me wanted to do it. But also because of my own situation, I didn't want other families to go through the same thing that my family had to go through. It was very traumatic for us, my entire family, like even the people that was at the hospital with my mom, the people that wasn't there, like it was just traumatic. Nobody understood like what it was like to not have their mom. I was born fifth generation. And my great, like everybody in my family had their moms, so nobody really understood what that was like. And it's a lot to deal with. Like it's a lot to have to go through. Just missing that one piece of you. So I think it's very important to protect the moms, protect the women, and families in general, because sometimes I know like dads may not understand what to do. How can they support? Or just anybody that's supporting in general, like even if it's their mom or something. Like most people don't know what to do for someone when they're in labor. Like, you know, during that process, they don't really know how to be there for them and how to support them. So that's one thing I pride myself on doing. Not only being that person that they can, you know, confide in or be there to support them, but to teach their families as well. Like one of my biggest things is like helping their partners learn what to do for them, because I mean they're gonna get the most oxytocin from their lovers, versus just a stranger.
Well, thank you so much, one, for sharing your story with us to tell us about your journey, because that's making an impact already just for you understanding how it feels to lose, not grow up without your mom, and just being able to use your own experience of your own labor experience to help other women, which is so amazing. I also wanted to mention too, like for my first son, I had a doula and a midwife because I was originally going to do a home birth. And I want to say the pros of doulas, like y'all are so amazing. Like my doula, she made us so confident when we went to the hospital. And let me tell you a quick story, y'all. Like, let me tell you how I knew my doula had our back. So we were doing our home birth, but I was like so tired. Like it was just, I wasn't progressing as much in things. So I was like, well, I'm gonna go to the hospital, get an epidural at this point, because I'm tapped out. My doula made sure we were good. Like, she had parked her car in a no parking zone just to make sure that we got upstairs and did everything, like making sure we're good. She was like, yeah, if my car get towed, that's okay, but I want to make sure that y'all are okay. And from there, that was really made me realize, like, it's so important to have somebody in your circle. Because although me and my husband were like, whoa, like, just a lot happened. We didn't plan for this part, but it was like just to have somebody just guide us through and be an advocate for us. It took so much stress off because you were able to just focus on, like, okay, I'm in labor. I need to focus, make sure I'm good. And it's just, I'm appreciative of you guys because with that, with her, me and my second son, my husband was my doula basically. And we already knew what to do. And we had a whole different experience, but that's a whole nother story because it's all about what hospital you go to too. But I just want to take a moment to give y'all flowers because
Thank
it's just
you.
so beautiful. And I know you mentioned, okay, you said, told us your story about a doula. What about, why is wellness important to you
Wellness
as a mom?
as a mom. Oh, whoo, as a mom, because we got these little people that like to climb all over us all the time. Because it's important, because we pour out so much into our families, into our homes, that sometimes we often forget ourselves.
Yeah, you
We often
definitely
forget
have to make sure.
ourselves. So it's important for us to take care of ourselves and prioritize our own wellness and our own well-being and our own needs, so that we can show up fully for our family, and in a way that is more rewarding.
I tell y'all that all the time. You always have to make sure that you are prioritizing yourself. It doesn't mean that you're not, focused on neglecting your family or anything, but it's just more so like you have to pour into yourself so that you can show up better, because you don't want to be tired, you don't want to be frustrated, you don't want to do all those things and from another
Yes, and
place.
when you're tired or hangry, you can't really function in a way that is, you know, received without being like overly aggressive or
Yes, it's so important to make sure that you're pouring into yourself. And I know you mentioned that you do something else outside of doing being a doula. What was it? A womb? What is that called?
Oh, womb steam practitioner.
Okay,
So
so what is that? Tell us about that.
that is just using the process of steam to clear out your reproductive system. So cleans out all those things, your vagina, your uterus, if you use it regularly. But it's like V-steaming.
What are the
I'm blanking
benefits of
on
that?
the name.
Because
Okay,
is it like a
so
yummy steam?
yeah, that's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
I just try not to say it in ways that seem too like vulgarish.
I did win it
But
one
yeah,
time, and I was like,
you've
ooh.
seen, yeah, all that. It's the same thing.
Okay, tell us the benefits of them.
So the benefits is you can have sorry.
You're fine.
Oh my goodness, this boy. But okay, so it can help with your periods. So you can have less painful periods. It can also help with people in their menopausal area, like menopausal portion of their lives. It can help with clearing out the lochia after you give birth. It can also help with stress. It can help with relaxation, just
Does it help with the pH
listening in
balance
for
too? I
me.
think I read that on the sign.
Yeah,
Was it okay?
it'll definitely help with the pH balance, just helping, keeping everything stabilized and clear. But all, you also have to use things in your diet as well, like, for your pH, like, to help you, not just steam.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
What's the
a, it's
disclaimer for it? So for the mamas listening, what is there any disclaimers? Because we just want to make put it out there. Like, do you like how soon can you do it after birth, or do you have to get cleared by
Oh,
some doctor?
okay.
Yeah,
So
let's talk about that.
you would definitely want to go to someone that's trained to care for you after birth, when in that regard. But yes, you can steam right after birth. Some in a lot of traditions, actually, the first time I heard about it, was like a after birth tradition of a family. I think like in the Haitian community, African community, they use it for after birth. Most people use it a lot more after birth in a lot of cultures, actually. To help clear out the lochia. So that's the bleeding that you experience those first 6 to 8 weeks after you have a baby. It's actually not like your period. It's actually just leftover like cells and things
All
like that,
the stuff
leftover
that was in
blood.
there.
So that's, yeah, those are, that's stuff that needs to come out. So you're bleeding after birth, but it's not like a period. Like your vessels are actually like closed. During your period, your vessels are open. So that's like the one time that I wouldn't mind like a client doing it at home on their own, because I know that those vessels are closing, that you won't be doing yourself too much harm, versus like, you can't steam at all during your period. And that's something that everybody should know.
And I just want y'all to know, make sure y'all find a professional. Don't try to just go on Amazon and order a kit. Go to a
Yeah,
professional so you can get the
don't
right
order a
information.
kit. Don't order a kit from Amazon, because you don't know what those herbs are. Because even like people that have like experienced like hot flashes and things like that, I know at one point I was, I think, like because of my birth control. So like even with that, like you want to make sure you're taking the right herbs, because it could hyper, like it could make those things worse. Like it can worsen your symptoms depending on whatever it is that you're trying to clear up. But you can clear up any gynecological issue with a V-sting. You just have to use the right herbs.
Oh, okay. And then how
Yeah,
can
in
the
the
people
right
find
setting.
you?
You can find me on Instagram or Facebook. On Facebook, I am Maya the Doula. And then on Instagram, it's MSC Life underscore wellness.
Okay. I'm gonna put it in the description below too, guys, so you can make sure you follow her. She has some amazing things going on. And I'm excited, like, whew, I'm excited to see the great things that you do. What tips would you give for a first-time mom before we wrap it up?
Tips for a first-time mom, I will say sleep when the baby sleep. Lots of people are against that because they're like, when do I get time to do this? When will I have time to do that? Hire a doula, call you on your support system, because you need to prioritize yourself too. You cannot do nothing for a baby if you are tired.
Ooh, I
If
like
you are
that you said
sleepy, if
that.
you are overwhelmed, you cannot do nothing for that baby. So if you up when the baby sleep, when the baby wake up, you're still gonna be up and you won't be able to go to sleep. So you need to rest when the baby is resting, so that you can maintain your own happiness, your own clear-headedness, and you can be ready. You can have as much energy as a baby does.
Yes, so for a first time mom, yeah, you probably are able to sleep when the baby sleep.
Yes.
But I
Rest when
like
the
how you
baby
said
rests.
hiring a doula really makes a difference, because I wish I would have did that with my second,
Yeah.
because I couldn't sleep with the baby sleep because I had my toddler up. So
Oh yeah, definitely. And then just call them on your support system. Call your mom, aunt, especially in those, that first 40 days, The first 40 days, the first couple months with your baby, is very crucial time. That's the time that we are more closer to the grief. So you need to really prioritize your well-being, prioritize your wellness, and eat well. You know, if you can't cook, call your mama, call your auntie, order somewhere that's going to be helpful. There are a lot of like places that will supply like soups and like wellness meals. So do your research and get some things like that going for yourself.
Yes,
So
and then you
you
know my
can,
postpartum planning guide has
yes.
those things in there. So if you're over here like, I need to figure this out, go ahead to Worthy Forever. Make sure you get that postpartum planning and remember what Maya said about taking care of yourself. And I just want to tell you, thank you again so much for joining us. And I think we need to have you back. So y'all let us know in the comments. Let us know because this was such a great conversation. And you know, we like to keep it short and sweet over here though, because mama's got things to do. But with that said, make sure you check out Worthy Forever and follow Maya. Her description, her information is in the description below. See, I can't even speak English. And then until next time.